Now, this 19th of December, 1970, from the last reel, Channel 1 Right, I taped over it, and this is Cookie's visit on Sunday, the 17th of January, 1971, the first one with his new teeth. And this is a count of his teeth. The Sunday, the 17th of January, 1971, Channel 1 Right, I'm taped over the visit of 19th of December. From the other reel, and this is Channel 1 Right. This is Channel 1 Right, and I taped over the 19th of December, and this is his first visit with his new teeth, the Sunday, the 17th of January, 1970, and it carried over from the last reel.
At it and they say, oh, that's beautiful. And the damn stuff heading out, you see.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, we about to give you out.
Well, I just about give out, too.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, they are so tiresome. They haven't learned anything, and they ain't learning, Cookie.
They ain't going to learn.
I try, you know, I've tried my best to be sinful. You get after me if you know. But I have sicked any number of them on you over there. And I think, why don't you go over there and work, you know, like I used to do today?
Mm-hmm.
Put in a little time over there with Cookie. Learn something. You know, I didn't say it like that.
But you put it to him in that manner.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Run away. And they ain't about to do anything. They come over there. They could afford to pay you. Just come over and work with you. There's so much they don't know.
That's right.
Oh, I get so put out sometimes. Just put out.
Well, I'll just tell you one thing. There ain't nobody knows what a relief I've got. To not have a headache.
To not have a headache. Why?
To not have a headache. I ain't had a headache since a week ago yesterday morning when I woke up. I woke up in Florence, South Carolina, got up to get ready to come home, and I didn't have no headache. And I ain't had one since.
You went over there. They worked on you Friday?
Friday.
You went to bed?
See, they took me to the hospital to stop the bleeding from this tooth here.
Yeah.
Then they took me back to the clinic, put my teeth in, told me to go to the motel room and rest. Well, I rested till 8 o'clock Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I got up and left. When I woke up at 8 o'clock, by golly, I didn't have no headache.
Why, Cookie?
And I ain't had a sign of one since. And it was that one tooth right there causing all my trouble. That one tooth right there.
Of all things.
Yeah. Now that's not one of your chewing teeth.
No. That was my eye tooth.
Eye tooth.
But I want you to know, when they pulled that tooth out, there was a string of abscess hung to it about like a match stem. That long, I want you to know. Just about that long. And about the size of a match stem. And when they pulled that out, it was just like you turn a water spigot on.
Yeah.
How often?
I could feel relief all the way back here, see? All the way back in my neck. And I've never had it's been that way ever since. I mean, my head's never been so clear.
And no telling how long.
That's right. That's right. And that one tooth right there has been causing all that trouble. But I still had no pain with it. None at all.
No. But it just poisoned your system.
Poisoned my system. And pressure. I guess the pain was going from here up in my head and causing my head to hurt. That's the only thing I can think of or I can even imagine. But I didn't feel none of the rest of them come out. None at all. They took them out. I didn't feel it. I saw them. I sat there and watched them, but I didn't feel nothing. But brother, I knew when they got that. It took four of them to hold me in that chair. Because it didn't numb. They give me all the Novocaine that the Lord allowed me to give, all my system would take. That's right. The doctor said that's all we can give him. That's all of it. And he said, we've got to get it anyway. We can't give him gas. Because I done had all the Novocaine my system would take. And then, I don't know, somehow or other, they can't give Novocaine and gas or anything like that together. So, that was it.
I've got everything.
I'm hoping it'll go out. I don't
know.
And I've been afraid of that place. Afraid to get out in the wind too much, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
I sure don't want to get the.
You don't want to get any.
I don't want to get no infection in it.
Oh, you don't want to take a cold. That's right.
So, by the way, I've just been staying put.
Don't blame you.
It's not that I ain't wanted to be down here. Don't get me wrong.
I know that's true, Cookie.
But I just had to pull on my own self to make me stay in and everything.
Well, it's all cool in here. I think I'll just warm up a little bit.
I poured you some right there. Go out here and check 1 minute. I want
to. Okay. Anything important happened, we'll tell you about it. And let me see now. Have I changed coffee or not? I think I have. I got this D&P. And see, I put it in these little ones so if it's left out, it deteriorates.
Mm-hmm.
And Faye never puts a cap back on people over here. And, it's all right, except you. That's where I do it. And, let me see what sort it is. I think I got some up here. A&P.
Yeah.
It's better than the other. At least.
No, it's like I told Faye, it's not that I ain't wanted to be down here, but I didn't want to get out in this brisk wind, you know, too much and get cold and get more infection up in there.
Yeah. That won't take much exposure.
So,
right at this stage,
I just had to pull on myself to keep in, stay in. You know what I mean?
Feel all right.
Oh yeah, I feel good.
But you know, better watch out.
Oh, my mouth's awful sore, but
what do you eat?
I have mashed potatoes and grits and
yeah.
Scrambled eggs and
yeah.
And then rice and gravy and
yeah.
All.
Well, there's still a whole lot of it you can eat.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Steaks, broccoli and cooks it real tender and I can just take the fork and mash it up.
Oh yeah.
And cauliflower same way. And she takes chicken and cooks it real, real tender.
Yeah.
And you can just take your fork and mash it up, just
yeah.
Pulverize.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how's the boy getting along with the tractor and over there?
He about to apply. That little shower, when that front come in, right?
Yeah.
I got it, it's plowed and it caught it all and it's too moist to harrow.
Yeah? Hmm.
Well, after it set out a day or two, it just clings.
Yeah.
You don't want to get on it when it
does. Yeah,
that.
See, that there's pretty solid soil up there.
Yeah.
It's not sandy like, Well, he seems to be a nice boy. I mean, he's quiet and I talked to him a little bit up at the station. So much to try to remember. I just can't I'm just forgetful, I guess.
Those cows been in an hour. Let them stay in a few minutes and I'm going to take them out. And you don't use a list. Down that list, you know, I get it all banked up there, day or two ahead, and work on it. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't get home with my head.
No, as soon as I get kind of cleared up here a little bit, this one side, why, I'll be back in the saddle again. But, Law, it's such a relief. You know what I mean? Just go ahead, I can sit down and halfway think now.
You see your wagon's still standing out there. I tell you what happened. That was the damnedest thing. On Tuesday, Miss Daisy came over here and looked out there and talked about that wagon. She was back over here for some reason or other on Thursday. By that time, it had rained and it was standing out there and was wet.
Mm-hmm.
So I told you it was out there. And then it kept standing out there. I kept thinking, well, I know you just put it up wet. I'll just wait till the sun hits it a day or two and put it on the sun. And you know, the sun wouldn't shine. And the first day the sun shined, I went out there and, you know, sort of pulled it out there with it. And it's been dry now. It's all right. But she lectured me. She says, up in Georgia, we put things under his head.
If I can get things moving just right, I'm going back to Georgia Tuesday.
Same place?
Yeah. Yeah.
He is a titmouse. He is a jolly, nice little fellow. He don't stay here. But up out of your country, the word for him.
Emily, I've been having to do a little reading.
And
I never have been able much of a reader of Faulkner because he knows so much more than I do. And well, they call it a novel, but I don't. It seems to me more like a newspaper. I won't read you all this. I'll just read you this little sketch here if I can find it. Now this fella, it's a dismal a little. Setting here, it's an idiot boy that gets after the cow, and that's what he's put out about, getting his cow, taking it off. Now, there's not much of that in here, none of it, so far I'll read you. And I don't know who the man is, he just called him by this time the owner of the barn. had already found in the crib the telltale ridge of spilled feed, beginning at the feed box and ending in a shelving crescent about the shape of the Epsom basket. And presently he even discovered it was his own basket which was gone. He tracked the feed across the lot and then lost them. But there was nothing else missing, not a great quantity of feed, and the basket was an old one. He gathered up the spilled feed and put it back into the box, and soon even his first burst of impotent wrath at the moral outrage, and he got a lot of big words here, it's hard to read, was over. So that on the second morning when he entered the crib and saw the mute ridge of spilled feed ending in that empty, embracing crescent, he experienced a shocking bewilderment, followed by furious and blazing wrath, like that of a man, and so on. Now, here for that moment, his state of mind was homicidal. He just put out. Now, he saw in this second, God, that's such a big word, flagrant abrogation of the ancient biblical edict on which he had established existence, integrity, everything, that man must sweat or have not, the same embattled moral point which he had fought singly and collectively with his five children for more than 20 years, and in which battle, by being victorious, he had lost. Now this will come out all right in the end. He was a man past middle age who with nothing to start with but sound health and a certain grim and puritanical affinity for abstinence and endurance. Isn't that awful to use language like that? Perseverance. Had made a fair farm out of the barren scrap of hill land which he had bought at less than a dollar an acre. Married and raised a family on it and fed and clothed them all and even educated them after a fashion. Taught them at least hard work so that as soon as they become big enough to resist him, boys and girls too, they left home. One was a nurse, one a ward healer to a county politician. One was a city barber, one a prostitute, and the oldest had simply vanished completely. So that there now remained a small, neat farm, which likewise had been worked to the point of mute and unflagging mutual hatred and resistance, but which could not leave him, it could not leave him, and so far had not been able to eject him, but which possibly knew that it could and would outlast him and his wife. Now, I don't understand some of that language, you see. He's got so many words there. Now, is that common? Five children. All he had was health and that
vigor, ability to go ahead.
Yeah. And he educated them. At least he taught them hard work until they were got old enough to resist him. And they left home.
You know, guy, right? That small plot of land. I mean, that plot of land that he bought for less than a dollar an acre. That reminds me of my dad's farm when he first bought it. He first bought 60 acres. $1,500. back when you bought it for $1,500. Now, $15,000 wouldn't buy as much as $1,500 was back then. But he bought it, he paid for it. To his own daddy. That's the farm that I was born and raised on. And that's all he taught us was hard work and honesty. He gave us all an education, high school education. 10 of us. Bought our clothes. We raised our food. And now, today, he's got as fine a farm as they are in that area of West Virginia, anywhere.
Yeah.
He's too old to appreciate it now. He's 72 years old.
Yeah.
He's too old to do anything to make anything out of it.
Yeah.
But it took him a lifetime to make it that way.
Yes.
Took him a lifetime to make it that way.
Well, now, you see, his children are all scattered. And the way he represented that is that as soon as they got old enough, you see, they resisted that hard work.
Yeah. They got out on to a easier life.
Yeah.
Well, that's about the way it happened at our house. We got old enough to get a job. We left the farm, which was hard work.
And you didn't have much to show for it.
That's right. We got out on our own. Just like me, from the time I was 18 years old until I got married, it was about the only easy life I've had.
Yes.
Actually speaking.
Yeah.
I'd go work at a place, and if work got too hard, I'd tell them what they could do and walk off, see?
You didn't want a steady job.
I didn't want a steady job. I saved my money. I'd go around with $200 or $300 in my pockets, you know. Enough to carry me a couple of 3 months. I could loaf for 2 or 3 months on $200 or $300.
Yes.
And live high on the hog.
Yes. You didn't have to pay for anything?
No, I didn't have to pay for nothing. Just pay for what I eat. And I always had enough friends and buddies I didn't have to pay for a bed.
Check up or something.
Yeah.
A lot of times
you
have to pay what you eat.
That's right. A lot of times whenever. Actually speaking, that's about the only real living that I ever done in my life. You take since I got married, I settled down and started right back to hard work again. I had to keep a job.
Now, from 18 till you got married, how old was you?
I'm 23 when I got married.
Well, you didn't have much in between, did you?
5 years.
And you knocked around here, there, and yonder?
Yeah, I was all over the country. All over the country.
Yeah.
Bought a new automobile. Paid for it.
Yeah.
In 1948, I bought a new Ford off the showroom floor.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
That's the way to do. Walk in and get it all clean and polished and...
That's right. brand new 48 Ford two-door sedan. Deluxe custom. One of the best ones Ford built. 1948. And I bought it. Count them out the cash for it. Green cash. $1,679 and some few odd cents.
That was just
like Cadillac, wasn't it? Yeah.
That was
living high. Now, how'd you get a hold of that money, Cleaner? So, Electrolux vacuum cleaners. From house to house, all over the country. Had a barrel of fun and made a barrel of money.
Well, I never knew that you had done anything like that.
I have done that. I sold Electrolux vacuum cleaners. We got $25 for every sweeper we sold. And it wasn't nothing for me to go out and sell four or five in one day's time. And collect, all I was worried about was my down payment. $25 down, that was my commission. Let the company worry about the rest.
They do the rest.
That's right.
Is that right?
If they had $25, they bought them a sweeper. And you take in a coal mining town in West Virginia, $25 was just a day's wages for them. And made $25.60 a day.
Yeah. And that was right after the war.
Right after the war, and everything was booming.
Everything was prosperous.
That's right.
Now, it wasn't booming. It was just a market.
That's right. They needed the...
You could make good, steady wages.
Yes, sir. And I went out in 3 months. I made enough money to buy that Ford car.
Lived
in the finest hotel rooms, eat the finest of food, and wore the finest of clothes.
Why, you blew it.
Sure I blew it.
You mean you used to go to hotels?
I went to hotels. I did that for 5 long months. And then the bottom fell out of everything. We couldn't sell one a week. We had flooded the country with them. We had flooded the country with vacuum cleaners. Because every salesman, there was 20 salesmen out of Charleston. And every salesman was out just like I was, knocking on them doors and didn't care. All they was after was $25, their commission. And if they could drop a cleaner off, they made $25. I sold as high as 5 in one day and been setting up with my feet propped up in a hotel lobby by 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Just simple. Easy.
Yeah. Too easy. It was too easy. It didn't last long enough. I bought that new car and I didn't get to sell very many cleaners after I bought that new car, but it was mine. I could ride in it. Then I went back to work at a service station. $45 a week. Did.
Ups and downs.
Ups and downs. And I worked at that service station up until I went to service.
In 54.
No, 51.
Moving fast, wasn't it?
Yeah. actually it was, I went in service the 11th of December 1950. That's when I went in service. You might say, might as well say 51, it was long. Right at the end of the year when I quit American Oil Company. I quit on the first day of December, 1950.
And then you didn't have to worry about your spending money for a while.
No, when I've been in service, I had a little bit of money. Then while I was at Fort Knox, Kentucky, Daddy come home every other weekend. I'd fly home. Cost me $50 for a round trip ticket from Louisville, Kentucky to Charleston, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Didn't take long to get what little money I had. I was there 3 months and I was home every 2 weeks.
Oh, you was courting?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got married before you went overseas?
No, we planned to. But they called me back 3 days early. We're supposed to be married at 8 o'clock on Friday night. I had to leave at 5 that evening to catch the train to go back to camp. They cut me short 3 hours for getting married.
Oh, what do you know? What do you know? Well, you didn't know you were going to be just sent right off, did you?
No, I didn't know that.
No. They knew it, you didn't.
That's right. See, after my boot training, basic training, we got a 30-day leave. Supposed to have got a 30-day leave.
Yeah. But they cut it short.
That was when, what was that general that got, that died over there, got killed? MacArthur. That's when he... Something happened to him, I forget now. But anyway, General Douglas MacArthur.
And they just picked you up and sent you right on.
That's right.
Right out of boot.
Right out of my leave, yes sir. I done finished my basic training.
Yeah.
And I was home. Well, they called my dad at work and told him to have me report back into Fort Knox, Kentucky that night. They called him that morning. Well, the next train I could get was 5 o'clock that evening because the morning train had done left when Daddy told me. Well, I finagled around and got... My brother-in-law took me to Huntington, and I caught the 5 o'clock train out of Huntington, West Virginia, in Fort Knox, Kentucky. And then it was... That was in... April. March. That was in March. Right, the 1st of March. See, January, February, March.
51.
And when I left home then, I never got back home until April of 52.
How'd you get back then?
My time had run out in Korea, see.
Yeah,
I'd spent my 13 months in Korea, and they sent me back. I stayed in Korea 13 months, and I was gone 13 months and 11 days.
That's all the time you had to put in over there.
Mm-hmm. I come back to the States, and I stayed from April until September. I got out in September of 52. I was discharged. And I stayed that time in Camp Pickett, Virginia. I just stayed there. I never done no work all the time I was there. I never done a nickel's worth of work.
Just waiting to get out.
Lived off the post. Had me a little house trailer. About like this one out here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Me and Helen lived in it out there on the trailer park. Just had a ball.
You see that little warbler on that post there? Keeping the stuart? Oh, he left now. But he's a little warbler. Now you can see him.
Mm-hmm.
See,
yeah.
Pretty, yeah. See, generally, they're so small and so high up, you can't see them. And one thing about these little stations is it brings them in where you can see them. They don't want to feed, they want to suck it.
Yeah.
And some of them will come for peanut butter, and some for sunflower seed is the biggest delicacy. You wouldn't think so, would you?
You wouldn't think so, no.
Sunflower seed. I raised sunflower seed out here one year. I had several rows. I must have had a half acre. And you know what happened? I hadn't caught on to this Florida planting then. And it made beautiful stalks and great big heads. And no seed in them. The fertilizer played out.
Oh, before the seed got formed.
Yes.
Well, I'll be doggone.
Yes. So I should have learned my lesson, shouldn't I?
You should have, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I had a shed full of those old sunflowers in the head. And everyone was a hoot. And on top of that, the weevils got in. See if you can see them.
Yeah.
Well, now, Cookie, that was when you really started putting out. And after that,
that's right.
You did a lot of trucking.
A lot of trucking.
You know, trucking then different than what it is now.
Oh yeah, you can make money back then trucking. Yeah.
But you didn't put in hours. You never had an 8-hour day.
Mm-hmm.
Just as long as you can last.
And you better believe I could last back then.
Yeah. And one bad trip would ruin you.
Yeah. I left one from Marietta, Ohio, one trip for San Diego, California. And I want you to know I never shut an idle. I made San Diego and back to Marietta.
Well, that's unbelievable.
I never shut an eye. I never shut that GMZ off. Never shut that engine off.
Well, now you've come back crippled from the Korea.
Yeah. had my feet froze.
But you still could do that. You never messed around. Yeah, you did some farming after that.
Yeah.
Before you come down here.
Yeah, that's what I was doing before I came to Florida, was farming.
How long was you at?
2.5 years.
Yeah. And that's what emptied your pockets.
Yes, sir.
Cleaned you out.
Cleaned me all the way out.
Even the cattle didn't work. Buying the cattle. Cattle hopping. What'd you call it?
Pin hooking. That didn't work.
And now you've got too good a thing on that corner to try anything again.
Yeah, that's right.
Pin hooking or trucking or any of those things.
It's too easy. What I mean, there's no manual. I don't put out no manual work, and I make so many contacts.
You're going with Jack?
Yeah.
What's he looking for now? More ponies?
Yeah, he sold out.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Give him away?
No. He made some money. He took him to Fort Lauderdale. To sail down there and make some money.
Oh my.
Well, this is Channel 1 Right, and I taped over the Owen. Channel 1 Right, it's around 6:25. And the end of the visit with Cookie this Sunday, the 17th of January 1971, he came out with his new teeth. He's had them a week. He came out with his new teeth, and this is the first time. That's the end of this visit with Cookie this Saturday at supper time, the 19th of December, 1970. Saturday night, supper time, way after dark. This is Channel 1 Right on the new reel, 630, 35, 40. That's the end of the visit with Cookie. This Saturday night, the 19th of December, 1970, at supper time. This is Channel 1 Right on the new reel. It's carried over from the other reel. And the end of this visit on with Cookie, this marvelous fine visit, hour and a half and three quarters, almost on tape. with Cookie this Saturday night at supper, the 19th of December, 1970. This is Channel 1, right around 6:45.